From beautiful downtown Winnipeg, Manitoba, this is CKUW 95.9 FM.
And that is the best CKUW idea I've ever heard. Hi, folks. It's Friday afternoon, which means it's time for another edition of Let's Play DJ. This is the show where every week I have a different guest on to talk about music they like and listen to it. And I'm just going to pull up my notes really quick so I can say my intro, but I might have lost it. Anyway, my guest today is a singer-songwriter. One of my favorites. The first time I heard her sing was at the WEC a couple years ago, and I remember I was sitting beside a friend of mine, and she came out to sing a song with another artist, and as soon as her verse started, we both just like turned to each other, jaws agape. And I'm also very lucky to call her a good friend and collaborator. It's Dominique Adams. Hey, Dom.
Hello, Jacob.
Let's play DJ. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good. So, for the purposes, I'm gonna ask you questions. For the purposes of this interview, we're gonna pretend I don't know the answers to all of them.
Okay.
You've been on the show before.
Acting.
We're acting. Do you know how to act?
I've been known to.
Okay. Just so you can get right up to the mic there.
Sorry.
You've been on the show before.
Oh yes.
Many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
We were not friends then.
Absolutely not. Just kidding.
You're not making this easy for me. Anyway, I'm excited to chat about your record.
Me too.
That I feel very lucky to have been able to see from in many different iterations. and we're going to talk about your show.
Oh, yeah.
Which is next week.
Yep.
Thursday,
the 29th at Side Stage. Would you like me to say more? He's gesturing.
Don't talk to them.
It's next Thursday, the 29th. Some excellent singer-songwriters will be opening the show.
I like who?
yourself, Jacob Brodowski. Laura June Rose.
Sam Fournier
and Cassidy Mann.
Nice.
Bit of a killer lineup, if I do say so myself.
Three out of the four, for sure. Mm. And then one. One guy who had to have you on his radio show in order to book
it. This is pure bribery.
Well, as you know, you choose all the music that we're going to listen to today. And I know you've spent a lot of time putting this list together. Days, perhaps even weeks.
I've been laboring over it.
You remembered that this was happening.
Mm-hmm.
And have been,
preparing.
Busy preparing.
I've been doing vocal warm-ups all afternoon.
This is your second interview of the day.
Yeah.
How does it feel?
We'll see how it goes. Still early.
Okay, first song on the list I got is Charlotte Cornfield.
Yep.
Tell me.
It's a great
Why
song.
Charlotte?
Why? Well.
This is going great, by the way.
I just think it's a good song. please play it now.
It took a lot for you to drive over. It took getting over it. Letting loose on the front lawn, shorts and boots on, hose running on a low drip. You had to shed your armor a little bit. Stop thinking you weren't wanted. Had to get out of your house. That place was feeling kinda haunted. You took a drive to the guy. Karen said you can't make it if you never even try. And you can't feel the wind blow if you never go outside. Like you get out of your shell for a like hell. He looked a little surprised, some confusion in his eyes, hair long and wild as hell. When he opened the door after you rang the bell, you didn't stay to get a reaction, didn't give yourself time for traction. You just bolted, crestfallen, crying in your car, thinking how appalling. You took the drive, blue sky. Karen said, you can't make it if you never even try. And you can't feel the wind blow if you never go outside. You get out of your shell for a minute, you could even live there for a minute. It's so hard to tell when you're in it, 'cause it hurts like hell when you're in it. You could get out of your shell for a minute. Standing on your porch, hands in his pockets, leaning, looking honest. He said, you didn't give me time to answer. I didn't even need to think it over. I guess I'm just slow at responding, but I think I want what you want, and I'm sorry I left you wondering. Get out of your shell for a minute, you could even rebel for a minute. It's so hard to tell when you're in it, 'cause it hurts like hell when you're in it. You could get out of your shell for a minute, you could even rebel for a minute. It's so hard to tell when you're in it, 'cause it hurts like hell when you're in it. It just hurts like hell.
From her brand new record, Hurts Like Hell, out March 27th. That was Charlotte Cornfield with the title track, Hurts Like Hell. You're listening to Let's Play DJ on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. My name is Jacob Wardowski, and I'm here with my friend Dominique Adams.
Hi, Jacob.
Hi, Dom.
I like that song.
I like it, too.
She does the narrative thing so well.
Oh, you came up with things to say about it.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Well, I do just like the song, but Jacob didn't like my answer before.
Don't talk to me. I have a Charlotte Cornfield story.
Okay.
I had the pleasure of driving her out to Real Love Summerfest this year, and she was telling me about the record, and I was very excited to hear that there's pedal steel on this record, because mm-hmm. I love pedal steel and I love Charlotte Cornfield, but also my kid scream cried the entire drive.
Right.
And that's the story.
While she was telling you about
the record. We were trying to have a conversation. I was like trying to keep it cool. And then Shiloh's just in the back, just, no!
No respect.
No respect. He doesn't, yeah, he doesn't get Charlotte Cornfield.
Yeah.
Put on the Wiggles! Yeah, she's got, like, I don't know, her writing is crazy.
Yeah, and the production I always love. I thought about, I guess, her last record. The last song on it, Walking with Rachel, mm-hmm. The production on the whole record, really, but it was I very much wanted to live inside the way that song sounded,
mm-hmm.
and also have it sound like, or just like have that feeling come across in mine as well.
Mm-hmm.
Just, it feels very, I don't know, the production is very like in the room and very,
yeah,
it's very nice.
Yeah. Her new record is produced by, I forget his name. But he did the last Adrian Lenker record, I think.
Mm-hmm. It's not... No, not Dom.
No, that's the other guy you like.
That's the other guy, yeah.
Yeah, that's the Laura Marling guy.
Yeah, right.
Well, I can scroll through her entire Wikipedia, but I'm not going to, because it's not even updated. Anyway, yeah. Rob something?
Yeah.
Anyway, riveting radio you and I are creating right now. but it's a great segue talking about making music in the room and that type of production, because I would say you definitely accomplished that on your record
Thank you.
Which is what we're here to talk about today.
We don't have to. Just kidding. Don't do this.
You know, I got to listen to your other interview today, and you're much more generous.
No, I would love to talk about my record.
I changed my mind. Like, when did you decide that that's how you wanted to make your record? Like, in the room, on tape, sort of minimal overdubs?
I mean, I think moving to Winnipeg, it was like all of these things kind of became possible as I learned about them, which kind of like shaped how I wanted to do things, just based on the feeling that they gave me, like learning about all of these records that were made in people's houses, like in the living room, everyone just like sitting in the same room and just hanging out and eating dinner together. And I very much wanted that to be the way that it felt to make, or like in the room making the music, just very much like we're just playing music with our friends. And yeah, so as soon as I learned that that was possible, I think, is when I, as soon as I learned.
As soon as I assumed
that that was.
I'm not being a very good interviewer either.
No, you're setting me aflame.
And when you think, like, is that how you want to make records from now on?
I think so. I mean, I would love to try making them a whole bunch of different ways, but I mean, I guess I just need to learn about how more records are made. I mean, I learned about friends making records in that way because that was what was happening in the community, and then I was hearing the result of that, and it sounded so awesome and felt so awesome to listen to. But I don't know. I feel like with like a producer guiding, I feel like I would not do well with the decision making of like multi-tracking, and like I feel like I would be overwhelmed with the possibility. I love the making the music in the room and letting it exist.
I'm just like having to live with it.
And yeah, exactly. And I think recording to tape is especially good for that, or like lends itself well to that that feeling. But I think with like the right people, it would be super fun to multi-track and like to shape it over a longer period of time. Yeah. So who knows? I feel like I would like to try some different things.
The answer is I reject the notion of your question.
No, I reject nothing. I'm a yes man. Yes, and
we were not going to talk about improv. Can't let's do another song.
Okay.
We got this Tofu Smell song.
Yeah, it's so beautiful. Mm-hmm. I have, so Kieran Placetka, who played piano on my record, produced or co-produced a bunch of songs with Tofu Smell with Ray, and I've been lucky over the last couple or few, however long they've been working on these songs, to be privy to some of these recordings in a few different stages, and at each stage they have all sounded so beautiful. And I think Ray's songs are just like so special, and Kieran's production and playing is always just adds so much. I don't think there's anything that he can't make better, and not that that was needed, but I'm just saying that he just always elevates things and makes them, he just adds so much. And it's so nice to hear that on other music.
Here's Me Tomorrow.
You're nothing. Why does the light wrap you?
Perfect outro. That was Me Tomorrow by Tofu Smell. You're listening to Let's Play DJ on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. 417 on your drive home. My name's Jacob Brodowski, and I'm here with Dominique Adams.
Hello.
Hello. She's signaling at me to vamp. 417 on your drive home, and I don't know what the actual temperature is, but it's horribly cold. We are live in the studio. Dominique is currently choking on a Coca-Cola gummy. How are we doing over there? You all right?
Yes.
All right, cool. I wrote down some questions I was going to ask you.
Okay.
I actually prepared more for this interview than I usually do because I find it's harder to interview people I know well mm-hmm. than it is strangers.
Well, you're doing great so far.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know if I believe you, but thank you.
You're welcome.
You're supposed to reassure me there.
Well, I... A second no, time? No.
Jesus.
You are doing fantastic. Okay.
So I feel like we've talked about this before, but I actually don't remember the answer. Like, when did you start writing songs?
I feel like my first song I wrote in 2016, 2015. And it was just like me. I wouldn't call them serious. I mean, they don't have to be. Anyways, they were. I'm just trying to defend myself that they weren't good.
Maybe why did you start writing songs? That sounds more like I didn't. Like I'm glad you do mm-hmm. to clarify. Anyway.
Yeah. Why? Well, I think that was the time that I had kind of started putting away my musical theater and,
That's next on the question list, by
the
way.
Oh, yeah, okay. Good segue.
Yeah.
I'm anticipating the segue. And I started listening to more like singer-songwriters and had started connecting to more of that style. And so I think I was just feeling interested in trying and also was like taking more guitar lessons at that point. So I was just trying it out.
Cool.
Just having a good time. which was it's funny, like at that point, I was not really writing about anything that really mattered to me. You know, like, it all felt like very random collections of words, and I think I hadn't quite, like, bridged the idea of, like, writing songs for, like, self-expression or, like, or, like, emotional processing or something.
Because that was actually something else I was going to ask you about. Because you're someone that, like, you don't write songs that aren't personal.
Right.
I think.
Okay.
Am I right in saying that?
Yeah, I think.
Right?
Yeah. Like, yeah.
I feel like, especially because, like, we're both in Song Every Week, and which is an exercise where you have to write a song every week, and it's like, you just kind of got to churn them out.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like a lot of us in that group, sometimes we'll just write randoms, but your contributions are always, they're always, like, rooted in truth and rooted in, like, real feelings. Mm-hmm. Is that a conscious choice? Is that, like, have you ever tried to write outside of that?
Yeah, it's weird because I feel like I first started not writing rooted in truth. And
when did that change? Sorry, I just cut you off.
No, it's okay. It's okay. it's fine. which way's the door? I think, I don't know, I think just after I'd done it a few more times. Mm-hmm. But even still, like, maybe not until, like, 2019 or 2020.
Hmm.
Like, I remember the first song that I wrote where I was, like, where it, like, came out in, like, 20 minutes. You know, yeah. It was, like, start to finish. And that was, like, an epiphany for me where I was, like, oh, that's what it feels like to write something that, like, truly represent something that I'm feeling.
Yeah.
And not saying that, like, the other way, like, drawing it out or whatever can't mean that. I'm just saying, like, for me, it was like,
it was like catharsis.
Yeah, it was like a true processing experience. Hmm. Which is cool. And for a long time that felt rare, like it happened the first time and then like maybe stopped after a while, and then like I was like, oh well, maybe I need to like create the perfect condition for something like that to happen, you know, like. Mm-hmm. I was in school at the time, and I was like, well, maybe like I just went to my parents and like relaxed for a couple days and like don't have school in my brain, and so like I think after that time I came home and like wrote a song like that again.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I was like, oh well, this is very conditional and like very very dependent on things being a certain way. And then Song Every Week Club happened, and I was like, oh, you can actually, like, those conditions don't have to be so specific, and you can actually just, like, fight through those barriers and and find meaning other ways. Or good songs.
Speaking of good songs.
Yep.
We got a Leonard Cohen song up next.
Oh, yeah. I love this song.
Yeah.
I love this song so much.
Do you want to say anything about it? Hey, hey? Or hey? That's hey, hey, ho, ho.
We can listen to it first and then...
Okay. Here's a Hey, That's No Way to Say Goodbye.
I loved you in the morning. Our kisses deep and warm. Your hair upon the pillow, like a sleepy golden storm. Yes, many love before us. I know that we are not new. In city and in forest, they smiled like me and you. But now it's come to distances, and both of us must try. Your eyes are soft with sorrow. Say goodbye. I'm not looking for another as I wander in my time. Walk me to the corner, our steps will always rhyme. You know my love goes with you as your love stays with me. It's just the way it changes, like the shoreline and the sea. But let's not talk of love or chains and things we can't untie. Your eyes are soft with sorrow. Hey, that's no way to say goodbye. I loved you in the morning, our kisses deep and warm, your head upon the pillow like a sleepy golden storm. Yes, many love before us, I know that we are not new. In city and in forest, they smiled like me and you. But let's not talk of love or chains and things we can't untie. Your eyes are soft with sorrow. Hey, that's no way to say goodbye.
That was Hey, That's No Way to Say Goodbye by Leonard Cohen. You're listening to Let's Play DJ on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. I'm here with Dominique Adams.
Hello.
Who proclaimed halfway through that song that this is a perfect song.
It is a perfect song.
What makes a perfect song, Dom?
The melody is haunting. It's stuck in my head most days. Beautiful harmonies. Those little vocal... Hey, so good. Yeah, I just love Leonard Cohen's writing. He is also just an incredible poet. Mm-hmm. And yeah, the first time I heard that song, it was on... So I spoke earlier about like a period where I was like starting to listen to more like songwriters and mm-hmm. I mean, all music someone wrote, but I just mean...
Intentional songwriting.
People who write and then play and perform them.
Yeah.
Themselves.
Singer-songwriters, I think, is the...
Singer-songwriters?
Sort of the clinical term.
Yeah. We could break it down further, but... it was on this album by this artist from the UK called Leon Lajavis, who I was deeply obsessed with when I was in college, and she did a cover of that Leonard Cohen song, and it was, yeah, just like a song that I listened to about 1,000 times, and then listened to that Leonard Cohen album after, and then discovered the genius that is him. Which I love. I love when artists, there's like that exchange where it's like an artist covers a song, which like opens you up to like a whole new world of music, which is so awesome. But yeah, that song is so special. Mm-hmm. And that's what I have to say.
Nice. Hey, tied it up with a bow at the end there.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You mentioned briefly sort of when you started listening to like folk music or like singer-songwriters, because previously you were listening to musical theater.
Yep.
And we spoke about this briefly, I think, the first time you came in. Mm-hmm. And we've always, like, we've both sort of, I think, accessed like songwriter music through musical theater.
Yeah.
Which is not super common.
Right.
Among our peer group. And I'm we've actually never talked about this, I don't think, but I'm curious, like, how... Because I've never thought about this for myself either, but like how that musical theater piece like informs your writing practice now. And then the other question I wrote down though was like, where does it fall short? Like why not just write musicals?
Mm-hmm.
Like why, you know what I mean?
There's a lot of reasons it falls short.
Like
we're gonna have to extend this radio show.
I always refer to myself as like a recovering musical theater kid.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, the first songs that I was writing, I don't know if I was, like, actively, like, oh, like, this is, like, directly influenced by this. But I was also, like, learning a lot of jazz guitar at the time. Hmm. So I feel like there was also, like, there was, like, a weird amalgamation of all of these things.
Jazz guitar and musical theater. Let's play one of those songs.
Yeah. But, like, thinking about the way that I made my record, like, I don't know if I, like, am actively thinking about how it informs the way I write songs. I guess if I think about it, like, maybe, like, even thinking about it, I'm not really sure, but, like, when I was putting the record together, I loved the concept of an album having, like, a through line or, like, returning...
like, motifs.
Yeah, because I used to listen to musical theater records, like, front to back. Mm-hmm, and, like, you... There's, like, such a beautiful arc when you listen that way of, like... Because, like, so much of musical theater is, like... Like, a lot of the dialogue is sung and, like, and arranged for music and, like, and so, like, there's so many recurring melodies and, like, these things that work together to, like, make it feel super cohesive and what's the word? I think cohesive will do.
That's adequate. I think, like, also there's something very satisfying about, like, I think something about musical theater records that I also find about your record and just, like, all records I love is, like, they're, like, bookended.
Yeah.
Neatly.
Yeah.
And there's something very satisfying about that. It's not just, like, a collection of songs. There's, like, I think it just implies a little bit more intentionality.
Yeah. 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 I love the process of, like, piecing together an album. I'd never done that before, and, like, and I can't wait to do it again, because you, like, I don't know, you start to, like, see these narratives in different ways, and, like, you start seeing, like, these similarities between songs or, like, things that keep showing up that maybe you didn't mean for that to happen, or, and so I think that, like, assembling things in a particular order after the fact that they've been written. I mean, it happened after, like, that way, because I wasn't writing songs with, like, the intention of them all being on a record. Like, I think at one point I was like, oh, well, I think I know what this record is gonna be. So maybe things just, like, kind of made sense once they were written to...
But I remember we had a conversation once where you were talking about, like, certain songs that you weren't going to put on the record because you didn't feel that, like, thematically they necessarily fit.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I guess maybe it's just, like, a practice of, like, you write songs until something starts to take shape and then... Yeah, because and maybe that's just, like, what happens once you get into, like, a more consistent writing practice and you have more things to choose from, but... It took a really long time for the first record to take shape because... But yeah, I don't know.
How like what was the early, what was the first song you wrote for the record? Like what's the earliest song on the record?
I think To Keep. The title track.
Yeah. And very much like the thesis statement.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely that one.
Huh.
Yeah, I wrote that in like 20 somewhere between 2016 and 2017.
Oh, wow. No. Because it's also pretty rare, I mean, at least for me, like, to even be able to listen to a song I wrote that long ago.
Yeah. Well, I think maybe I didn't, like, love it at the time, or, like, maybe listening back, it felt, like, juvenile or, like too sparse or something, and, like, I didn't play it for a long time, and then I think at one point it, like, made a resurgence. And maybe I, like, changed some things or something. But then it ended up just being, like, the...
centerpiece.
The centerpiece, which is kind of funny. But I also believe in, like, something about this album that I had to learn kind of in the midst of writing and then also in the midst of like making it was like just like being okay with where you're at as a songwriter or like I'm so happy I put out my first EP. Like, it wouldn't be the music that I make now, obviously, like, just because I was different and was listening to different things and knew less. But I'm so happy that I put it out and like, I am happy that it exists as like a marker of like what I was doing and capable of at that time. And like, I feel the same way about some of the songs on the album. It's like, maybe I don't like, maybe they wouldn't be what I would write now, but
yeah,
but it, I don't know. I
still like an important, well, it's like what Laura always talks about with like folk music, how it's like a written, it's like an oral tradition. It's about like storytelling and like record keeping.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. So it feels like very archival in a way.
Yeah.
It's like, well, that was me then. And I've learned some things in between that time and now, and I don't know.
But it must change how it feels to perform those songs.
Yeah.
To an audience, right? Like.
Yeah.
Do you struggle with that? Is that hard?
I don't know. I feel like sometimes it is kind of exciting.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like, I don't know. Recently, I started playing a song from my like first EP live with a band. And like, I don't know, just like took a new shape and like had never performed it in that way before and like kind of like fell in love with the song a little bit again. And like, I don't know, I think like time passing can give you a different perspective on how playing different songs feel.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. Because a lot of people, I feel like, are the opposite. They're just like, they don't want to touch their old stuff. Or they don't, you know? Or they're like ashamed by it.
Yeah. And I mean, like, I think naturally, like, I, like, when I first moved to Winnipeg, like, I was playing a lot of, like, older stuff and, like, would just, like, phase stuff out as I was writing stuff that I liked better.
Yeah.
And, like, I feel like that, like, right now, I feel like I've been playing a really similar set list that I have for, like, the last year, probably. And I'm feeling kind of nervous about moving into new material and which feels kind of strange, whereas like before I was like eager to like play new songs and like see myself like developing and or whatever. I'm not saying I'm developed, just
how dare you. Let's listen to another song. You want to do this Margaret Glassby song?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I Sometimes You Need?
Yeah.
Featuring Andrew Bird?
Yeah.
You want to say something about it first? Want to listen to it first?
Let's listen.
Let's listen to it. All right, cool. Here it is.
Sometimes you need a stranger to talk to. Sometimes you need to go to the observatory. Sometimes a movie star's eyes get you through the love and the lies. Sometimes you need a stranger to talk with. Sometimes you need to go to the dog park. Sometimes a movie star's spark gets you through the dark. Sometimes a movie star's bark hard, a bitch on a lark. I'm so tired of writing of cities. Guess that you've guessed which one this is. Sometimes a movie star's eyes get
city through the love and the lies. Sometimes a movie star's kiss. Let's get lost in Los Angeles. Sometimes you need a stranger to talk to.
That was Sometimes You Need by Margaret Glaspie and Andrew Bird. You listen to Let's Play DJ on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg, 441 on your drive home, unless you're listening to this at a podcast. And then, in that case, I have no idea what time it is, nor do I know the weather, but I'm here with Dominique Adams.
Hello.
Hey, Dom. We've been chatting about all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
I have another question to ask you.
Okay.
And so, because I've been struggling to think of things to talk about that, like I said, aren't sort of well-tread ground. But,
yeah.
So you're a music teacher also.
Yeah, allegedly.
How many music students do you have?
Just 25.
Yeah, exactly. So... And I'm just wondering, like, you're one of the people that I know that teaches music that, like, genuinely enjoys it, mm-hmm. for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if that informs your, like, arts practice or your writing practice, if at all. And if so, do you, how? Or is it just, am I barking up a nowhere tree, as the saying goes?
I mean, I guess in some ways it kind of does, because, I don't know, I feel like I learn a lot about music when I'm teaching it.
Hmm.
Or, like... concepts or things are solidified in my mind that maybe lend itself to, like, more skillful playing or whatever, you know. And also, like, I have, like, quite a few students that are just, like, so genuinely excited about music that, mm-hmm. like, I don't know, it feels inspiring to, like, witness the, like, childlike, just, I don't know, it's like the innocence of, like, like discovering music for the first time and, like, I don't know, like, hearing things that, like, are actively, like, making them into the person they're gonna be when they're, like, my age or whatever. And it's like, that's
which is old.
Which is old. But it's like, that is also the same, I don't know, it's like, that is inspiring in the way that, like, the things that we are consuming are also,
yeah,
like, that still is the truth, like, that still is happening, and, like, I don't know, but it's just so much more, like, palpable, or, like, whatever, mm-hmm. seeing it in, like, an 8-year-old, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But then it's also a lot of pressure, like, I don't know, like, I want to lead them in the right direction.
Have you ever refused to teach a student a song?
I don't think so. I've enthusiastically recommended other choices. Oh, that song, really? I don't think you're ready for that song.
Right. Let's play another one. I got this tune by our buddy Taylor Jackson.
Taylor.
Cued up. The best.
Yeah.
Brand new single.
Such an amazing songwriter.
In person.
And yet another member of the community that just makes everything so good.
Here's Buzzcut.
Oh.
That was Buzzcut by Taylor Jackson. You're listening to Let's Play DJ on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. My name is Jacob Brodowski. I'm here with Dominique Adams. We got a couple minutes left.
Hello.
Hi. you were insistent that we make room for another song.
Well, I just...
I'll throw out... I've spent the whole afternoon preparing all these interview questions, but I'll tear it up.
Well, we can have a conversation after the interview. We can record it and send it to all our friends. Surely they're all listening.
I remember when you texted me about the song and said, this is a perfect song, and I've listened to it 10 times today, and I'm going to listen to it 10 times more.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Well, it makes me feel alive.
Here is Deep Red Cherry Night by Begonia.
And stained kitchen tiles, my life in view. Turn the key around to the sun, I'm unbound. You're picking out the seeds and peeling the fruit. And it feels like a deep breath.
fresh every day. I wanna be alive with you. Bitterness aside, we wait till it's almost right. I wanna be alive with you. Passenger seat, handfuls blushing sweet, making shapes in the wind, your eyes on the highway bend. As the sun goes down, colors fly, pits spit out, we drive till we feel like we're home again. Our home is a tree growing round you and me, arms outstretched, it's harvest season. Strawberry, the look of you has come to be my open window, and I welcome the breeze in. And it feels like a deep breath every night. I wanna be alive with you. Bitterness aside, we wait till it's almost right. Cherry night, I wanna be alive with you. All bitterness aside, can't wait till it's almost ripe. I wanna be alive with you.
From her perfect record, Fantasy Life, that was Begonia with Deep Red Cherry Night. You're listening to the last couple minutes of Let's Play DJ here on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. My name's Jacob Brodowski. I'm here with my good friend Dominique Adams.
Hello.
Hello. It's a good song.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you that.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
We have a couple minutes left. You have a show coming up.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it.
Okay. Let's talk.
Okay. Record release?
Yep. It's a bit of a delayed album release, but I figured why not have a celebration?
That seems to be the trend these days, though.
Yeah.
I feel like everyone used to do like CD releases on the day they came out, and now people wait,
mm-hmm.
which I kind of like because then people actually know the songs.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for saying that.
You're welcome.
I've been feeling insecure about it. Not too much, but, you know.
Enough.
It's there.
We could. I mean, it's not too late to cancel.
Are you saying I should?
No. Who's in the band? Who's playing?
I am gifted with the presence of four beautiful music makers.
You can just name them.
This is why we're running out of time.
Yeah,
I don't know how to talk.
I am gifted.
Okay. Austin Perhoniak on guitar and vocals, and Kieran Plasetka, both of which who played on the record. And Natalie Bourne from Slow Spirit will be playing bass, and Yvonne Burke will be playing drums.
Nice.
Yeah, kind of a gorgeous crew.
I can't wait. Side stage?
Yeah, it's at Side Stage.
This Thursday,
the 29th.
A couple tickets left still.
Yeah, there's still a few tickets.
I hear it's selling pretty well, though.
It is selling. It's selling well.
So if you're listening
to my
chagrin.
Well, no, I'm glad it's selling well. I didn't expect this.
but then when you found out it was selling well, you're like, oh no.
Yeah, I want to live in both worlds.
Tickets available at reallovewinnipeg.com. Once again, that's at Side Stage this Thursday, January 29th.
2026
in this year.
This calendar year.
Yeah. Dom, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me, Jacob.
Anytime.
Thanks for your nice questions.
Anytime. Hope it wasn't too prying.
No, it wasn't. I enjoyed answering them.
I'll take it. You're not going to enjoy this one, though. We do like to...
No.
There's no we. it's just, this is my show. I like to ask the guest to pick a song of their own to go out on for the listeners to... Because I think it's really interesting when the listener knows what your favorite Dominique Adams song is. Oh, but we can plug your socials first. That's even more pleasant for you. Are you on Instagram?
I am. I have a social media iPad.
Okay, flex. Because you don't have Instagram downloaded on your phone?
Not in front of the guests.
plug your stuff. You got a website, you got a thing, people want to look you up, people want to follow along, people want to come to your shows.
You can find me out there.
Okay.
I'm on the web. I'm findable.
Let's Play DJ Airs every Friday from 4 to 5 p.m. here on CKW.ca. You can also, here on CKW, you can also head over to CKW.ca to find information about all the excellent programming put on by this volunteer-run station. And we're also a podcast now, so you can search Let's Play DJ on your podcast of choice, podcast app of choice, and find this interview and so many others so we can relive it over and over and over again.
I know I will.
Dom, what song should we play for the people?
I think, why don't you play To Keep, because we talked about that one
lot. Here it is. Have a great week, folks.
Something on my mind, but I can't find the words to say. What's been heavy in my mind? Have I always been this afraid? Just breathing, I'm feeling fine, and your words lingered in my